This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let's talk about building self-storage smarter, an alternative way to design, build self-storage construction. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the on-demand self-storage boot camp. That's the premier training I offer. Then it'll take you from wherever you are now all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage project into service. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Now, up until the 2020s, as a self-storage owner and small-time owner and developer, I never used the design-build process for my self-storage projects, whether I was doing an expansion, ground-up construction, or a conversion. Design-build in the construction world is generally defined something like: a design build construction process is a project delivery method where a single contractor is responsible for both design and the construction phase of the project, meaning the architect, the builder work together under one contract, collaborating through the entire process. I've never built that one. I also never, when I was starting a project, would call up an architect or an engineer and say, give me plans. Give me a layout. Give me plans. Create building plans so I can find a GC to build it. I never went that route either. Now, I didn't go those general routes that most people do in most asset classes when they're building something. And I didn't do it out of design. I probably did it more out of ignorance than any. I was just trying to keep my costs down, especially during the pre-construction phase where I don't have my loan yet from the bank. I've got to be putting money out, and I was just trying to build cheaper and to keep the amount of cash I had to put out in the design pre-construction approval phase. And that was really the only reason I started doing construction for self-storage the way that I do it. So I want to share with you the process that I use. And hopefully, if you're a small self-storage owner, this process may help you keep your construction costs low or your expansion costs low so that you can actually do deals today. So let's talk about today's environment. You know, when interest rates were 4% or 4-something, and the cost to build, you know, single-story self-storage was $35 to $50 a square foot, design, build, or just starting with architects and engineers, for the most part, were. It's easier. Most of the time, it's faster to go those routes as a small self-storage owner. But again, I was trying to keep my costs down, and particularly the out-of-pocket costs I had prior to getting a construction loan. So I ended up doing things a little differently. And even back before 2020, I was bringing in our storage projects $10 to $20 a square foot less than people using the other process. Yes, it took me a little longer. Yes, it required more of me as an owner, construction manager, if you want to say that, but that's how I did it. Then the pandemic hit. Supply chains were interrupted, and to avoid falling into a total depression, the previous two presidents, starting with Trump and Biden continuing it, paid Americans to stay at home and not work. What they did was the largest direct payment federal schemes that have ever been undertaken. There were two direct results from what I can see from doing that. One is it kept the country from going into recession or maybe probably even a depression. And two, it was inflationary. So after the pandemic started easing and Americans could go back to work. It really took something for many employers to actually get people back to work. They ended up having to pay more, higher salaries and more benefits. Again, inflationary. Now, you may have thoughts whether it was good that workers got more money and were in a position to demand more from employers. Whichever side of the spectrum you fall on politically, doesn't matter. That's inflationary. So we had interrupted supply chain, inflation. And to deal with that, what did the Fed do? Raised interest rates. And top all that, for what I'm sure are very sound reasons, the banks that I work with started requiring me as an owner to now have a GC on construction projects, whether I was doing ground-up expansion or conversions. So I took the same projects I was doing prior to the pandemic at $50 a square foot, went out to get GC, and boy, was I in for a shock. What was previously costing me $50 a foot was coming in at the low end, $95, mostly $120 and up a square foot. This effectively was putting me out of the storage business. So I did what most entrepreneurs do when confronted with a problem. You start a company to solve your problem. So what I did was, a person I know who is a general contractor and has a long history in the construction business, not in the self-storage construction, but in the construction business, I met with him, explained my situation and the process I had used. And I asked him a question. I said, are you interested in niching down and specializing in a certain type of construction? Given the process I described on how I used to do it, do you think you could apply some, that process or something very close to it in today's environment to do projects that I have and partner with me on them, or, and maybe even do projects for other people? After doing his research, Smitty, my now partner in a construction company, came back and said, yes, and I think there's a real niche in the self-storage space for the process that you have. So basically what he did was he broke down what I was kind of doing before into two phases. One is the pre-construction phase, or as he calls it, the owner rep phase, where we will take our projects or clients' projects through design and approval process to the point where we can generate building plans using the process or close to it that I was using before. And then, if awarded the bid, or on our projects, then we go into phase two, which is the actual construction project. So let me share with you the process we use today. And again, this isn't for every storage project, it isn't for everybody, but this is the process we use on our projects, which are mostly single story, drive up, 50, 60,000 square feet or less. Yes, we do some two story fabricated systems, but mostly what I'm describing is for conversions, expansions, or ground-up single-story, 60,000 square feet or less or so. This also works well for boat and RV development. First thing we do, and what everybody should do, is form your team. And on our team, we have an architect. Now, we don't just turn the architect loose, but we have a relationship with a national architect, well-known in the self-storage space. And basically, we have them on an hourly rate. And then we locate an engineer, a civil engineer, in the market where we're doing our project. Civil engineer, hopefully, has done self-storage before, has relationships with the people who are going to be approving the development phase of the project and even the building plan phase of the project. And we interview that and get that architect and engineer in place. We don't engage him in anything. We just have him in place. We'll explain this process I'm going to tell you to our engineer and make sure they buy into how we want to do it, and they give us either an hourly rate or fixed rate based on the different phases of the project. Next, we go to a fabricator, and I will pay for this, but I get $1,000 or less. I want to pay for it because I want to get other bids from other fabricators, but I'll give them my building if it's a conversion, or the ground if it's development or expansion, and ask them for a preliminary layout. Very often I'll give them information from what I can glean about that market on average unit size, how much is climate control, non-climate. And when I get my feasibility report, that's when I really kind of fine tune that layout. But I ask them for a preliminary layout on the site. I usually get a layout. I'll end up tweaking it a little bit. Then I give that layout, depending on what the size of the project and where it is, either to the architect or the engineer. Usually it's the engineer. And I ask them to look at this preliminary layout, make any modifications you see necessary to it to get approval. Now, the engineer or the architect's creating nothing. They're just reacting to a plan. Then I'll work with the fabricators on whatever modifications we may or may not come up with, and then get a revised layout from them. It's at this point I usually do a preliminary budget and kind of rerun the numbers to make sure everything looks like it's working so far. Then once we have our site plan, depending on what we have to submit to get development approval, if we need development approval, most locations we do need development approval before we design building plans. We want to get our project approved. So we may end up having to get renderings from an architect, but we get that site plan, which usually suffices, a rendering or two, and then we go get development approval. Very often they'll have comments. We have to modify the plan based on those comments. Then we relook at it, rerun preliminary budget, see if it still looks good. Once the development plan is approved by the local regulatory agency, that's when, and by that point, I have bids back and I've selected which fabricator I want to use. Now, usually you've got to put a deposit down, and when you put the deposit down, you go in the queue for fabrication, and then the deposit's anywhere from 25% to 50% of the total cost, and then when it's delivered, you pay the balance. What we often do, we work with fabricators who will work with us. Rather than pay the full deposit at that point, I'll pay 20% or so of the deposit and request them to go ahead and start generating the engineered drawings that they have to do anyway. Generate those engineered drawings and then send them to me. Now, what that does is it's the beginning of my building plans from the fabricator, and I take those plans when I get them and I give them to the architect to begin to add to those plans. They didn't generate them. They're just adding to them life safety, HVAC, electrical, plumbing, all the things we need to get to building plans. That portion of the deposit's usually non-refundable, so I make sure I have a good feeling that we're going to get everything approved and the numbers are going to come in. I already have development approval. Finalizing our loan usually at this point, and we're getting building plans. Then once we have the building plans, if I'm working for a client, at that point we give those building plans to the client, but we also will send out a bid package at that point. And as a GC for hopefully doing phase two, we'll get bids back. But the owners can take those plans and get as many bids as they want. We just request that our bid's one of them. We usually can get the bids because our fee's lower, and we've already saved the client and ourselves a lot of money in the pre-development phase. We've cut our architectural and engineering costs way down, sometimes as much as 50%. Now, this process takes a little longer, but it sure does save money. And it's not for everybody. If I'm building a large multi-story climate control building, 80, 120,000 square feet, I'm going to go with the design build. If I'm building a shopping center, I go with design build. If it's a mixed-use project with a strip center, I may go to design build for the strip center. So this isn't for everybody. And it also requires a lot more decisions and the owner to be very involved in the process. You know, when I'm doing my own construction, I want to see every single contract from every subcontractor. I want to approve them. I want to run the numbers. I want to talk to other people who've used them if I don't know them. So it requires a lot more on the part of the owner, whether you're doing this yourself or you're working with a company like ours. But it saves a lot of money. If we have a real complicated project, this isn't a process that's going to work. We were working on a project in a market where there were no utilities and no water. A lot of engineering work had to be involved in supplying water and the utilities to the site, and that our process didn't work on that. For most projects that, as a small storage investor, I get in, this project works great. Even today, we're saving $20 to $40 a square foot from what I was getting in my previous bids for the same project. Feel free to take this process that we use it yourself, tweak it, modify it as you see necessary. And if you feel like you need some support or maybe even want to talk to us about supporting you in using this process and taking the lead on it for you, you can reach us at the link in the, if you're on YouTube, there's a link in the comment section from me to our website, and this is the website. Or if you're on Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, episode 443, you can click the link in the text. I hope this process helps you. Again, tweak it, use it as, you know, parts or all of it, or change it. But this is how we build our self-storage projects today. In today's environment, with construction costs being what they are, interest rate, in other words, carry costs, hold costs being what they are, every dollar, every cent we save in our construction process increases the chances of that project being a viable project in today's market. So in 2025 and beyond, feel free to take the process that we use, and hopefully you'll be bringing more projects in and generating the returns you need to be in this fantastic business of self-storage. Thank you very much. My name's Mark Helm, and I look forward to being with you next week.